Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and our team of program hosts. A new Japanese community center is opening soon in Santa Maria, and it will include a variety of cultural activities and events. Today, join Lotta Murdy and her guests, Joanne Nashino Spencer, president of the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center, and Wes Koyama, Santa Maria Japanese Community Center vice president, to learn more about this new center and its offerings. We invite you to listen to today's pre-recorded conversation. If you have any follow-up questions, you can send them to us via email at voices@kcbx.org. Now, let's join Lotta Murdy and her guests. Over to you, Lotta.
Thank you, Brad. Joanne and Wes, welcome. I'm so glad you both could join me today to talk about the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for being here. Joanne, let me start by asking you when the Japanese Community Center is set to open in Santa Maria.
Okay. We've been working quite a while on it. The exterior is almost completed, but we do have some of the interior that still needs some work. So we're thinking that maybe approximately 2 to 3 more months so that we could have ample time to make sure everything is taken care of, like we have a monument that we're having built, and also we'll have a donor wall and a gallery. So those are the main things that we'll be working on from this point out.
Wonderful. So almost there.
Yeah.
Almost there.
Yes, almost.
Wes, where is the center located?
It is located at 1855 South Bradley Road in Santa Maria, California. If you're familiar with Costco, it's basically right across the street. There's the Enos House, and then the main hall is going to be set behind that. So if you're going to Costco, it's going to be on your left-hand side going north. Yeah, it's going to be a really nice venue to do weddings, you know, get-togethers. A lot of different events are going to be really nice to be held there.
Yeah, tell us some more about those events.
You know, I think, well, our events are going to be basically the luncheons. We're going to have our club luncheons there, our club meetings. And actually, the Buddhist Church in Guadalupe was talking about having their Obon there, but I think it's a little too small, maybe. I'm not sure if they can have it there, but they're going to be like wedding events, quinceañeras, just a whole variety of events because it's going to be the newest center in Santa Maria. So there's a lot of interest being generated by it. I heard that the city's being pinged quite a bit, asking, oh, when is it going to be open? You know, we want to go ahead and book it. And I'm so thankful for the outpouring of support that the community is showing. So we're really excited about it opening up soon.
This is exciting. So it's not just a center for the Japanese American community, but for the entire Santa Maria community.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good. And so there will be events there. And if you're in Santa Maria, listeners, you can see it on its way developing. It is quite exciting when you drive by. You mentioned several organizations there, Wes. So when you say we, you are talking about the Japanese community, or what is the name of your group?
The Santa Maria Japanese Community Center. Yeah.
And that is a club?
Yes. It's a nonprofit organization. It actually started in Guadalupe as the Guadalupe Children's School, and then we moved to Santa Maria in 1926, built the Gakuin, or the Japanese school, on Northwestern, and it's been in business ever since. Yeah, it's a nice little group. You know, we've expanded over the years, but I feel that once this new center opens up and everybody sees the new center and all the interest, all the activities we have planned for it, there's going to be a lot more, as far as membership goes, that will be interested in our activities.
All right.
Yeah, so can't wait.
You also mentioned the Guadalupe Buddhist
mm-hmm.
Group. and Obon. Can you talk a little bit more about that for our listeners who aren't familiar?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really a part of that. I mean, it was part of my childhood growing up. I go to the Santa Maria Obons at the Vets Hall. Back in the day, it was in Guadalupe, and then they moved out to the Vets Hall several moons ago. I think 2 years ago they had at the Minami Center, I think because the Vets Hall was being refurbished.
Vets was being, redone.
But other than that, it's been at the Vets Hall, and it's nice. They remodeled it, and it works out a lot better, I believe. It's just the parking's a little difficult around there. But
yeah. Parking's actually gotten better.
Has it?
That's good. What will parking be like at the new center in Santa Maria?
It should be nice. There's several parking spots in the front of the building. Yeah. And then
dealerships are working with us, too. When they don't need it, if we need some space and they have it, then we're welcome to use it. So that helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there should be enough parking there.
So it will be an event center, but it will also offer other activities, right, Joanne?
Right.
Can you talk a little bit more about those activities?
Okay. We have lots of elderly people that used to teach the different crafts of the Japanese. So most of them are gone, unfortunately, but they still have women that do the Japanese flower arranging, which is called Ikebana. So that's one of the classes that I would like to have there because it's part of the past and we want to keep the traditions going. Also, which Wes is really into, would be the judo classes. But as I understand it, they would not have it.
Well, I was into it. I mean, that was when I was
okay.
when I was younger,
Yes. But do you think that would be something that would be of interest to the community, right?
Sure.
Yes,
sure,
something different.
I think it would.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then there is also, it's called Shigin. It's a style of singing also from the Iseis. And my grandfather used to be the instructor, and it was a fun social thing. They would practice, and then they would compete and drive all over the state. And yeah, and they were pretty good singers, so they would come back with trophies and different things. So that was my grandfather's help. With his help, they were able to do that, and he really enjoyed it. So it's his hobby.
You mentioned Iseis.
Yes.
And for our listeners who don't know, who are the Iseis?
Okay. The Iseis are the first generation Japanese that came from Japan to the U.S., and that would be my grandparents, that age group. And then the second generation, which is their children and our parents, Wes and our parents, are Niseis. And that's the second generation. And then parents. And then the third generation is Sansei, which Wes and I are Sanseis. But it's getting to where they have to have a fourth generation called Yonsei, but I don't know too many Yonseis at this point. But mm-hmm. You probably do, Wes.
Oh, yeah. Well, all my kids are Yonsei.
Okay.
And I don't even know past that.
Right.
I just don't. Yeah, I know the language, but just a little bit. Because, I'm third generation and the language really wasn't passed down because we didn't speak a whole lot of Japanese in the home. My grandma and my grandpa did speak, but my mom really didn't.
Oh.
Yeah, so we didn't really pick it up.
In our family, my grandparents live next door to us. And so I can understand everything they say in Japanese, but I just answer in English. So, except for a few, little words. But,
Now, that's familiar to me because my parents are from India, and they speak Tamil, which is a South Indian language. And I understand it.
Right.
I always respond in English, right? I think that's a common second-generation phenomenon. But so you lived next door to your grandparents in Santa Maria?
In Santa Maria, growing up, yes.
Growing up.
Yes, on Church Street. It's like we lived next door to each other. We had a gate opening between the two properties so we could come and go. And, it was very nice.
I think a lot of the Japanese families
lived
in that area.
And Wesley's family lived on our same block.
Yeah, lived on Church Street, right?
Church
you lived
Street.
On Church?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And your grandparents lived next
to Right next
to
door,
too.
On 1041 West Church.
Yeah.
So they all went to Fairlawn, and it
right.
was all really
Fairlawn,
tight-knit.
Fairlawn, El Camino.
Yeah, we had Aloha Market and George's Fish Market. And
that was my grandpa.
Yeah. And there was another market, too, right?
Yeah.
Aloha.
Home food.
Home food basket.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was all a really tight-knit Japanese enclave or community right there. It was kind of nice. I mean, I was so young when I moved from that area. I think I was just barely a year.
Oh.
And then we moved to Orchid. And
right.
then
you
guys.
And that's where you grew up.
Yeah, that's where I grew up. So I kind of lost a little bit of that connection, but I still have.
But your grandparents also moved there, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. Yeah, my dad built a house out there by Waller Park. But very nice community out there. I mean, I still go by my grandpa's house, and it's very well maintained.
Oh.
Actually, it was my dad's house, 1041, and then my grandpa was on the corner, but it was great neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah, such a rich community history.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up in Santa Maria, next door to your grandparents right there. So how did this idea for the Japanese Community Center in Santa Maria come about?
Did you want to help me with that, Joanne? I think the idea came from the city. The city was planning a community center.
My grandparents, who were always involved in the community service and everything, they basically had their classes and events at this smaller venue called the Gakuen. And that's Wes has talked about that.
That's the original, yeah.
Yeah, original, but it was too old and it was not safe for our members, and so when we couldn't use it anymore, so we had to close it down, and that's when we started looking for another venue for our people to do what we normally would have done in the Gakuen. So at that time, Alex Posada, who's still the city's manager or city, and Tommy Martinez brought the idea of having that new center instead of, because we couldn't use this old one. So we kind of partnered, and now it's almost completed.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a long time coming.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
It's
been like almost like 4 years or going on 5 maybe.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, it's been a slow process, but
it seems like longer than that because the idea
it seems
came
longer.
With your with previous generations. Yes.
Yes.
Like the seed was planted with earlier generations of the community or your family? Did I misunderstand that?
I think that it was triggered because we could no longer use the Gakuen, so we needed a place for us to do our activities, and the timing was just right. So
yeah, it was very opportune.
Yes.
Yeah, because on Northwestern, if you're familiar with the area, there was a lot of transients, and so we had a lot of problems with people just hanging out, and we had an incident of arson there, so
yes.
And then the city was saying, "Hey, well, need to keep this up." And
they're
they started fining us because of all the garbage and the
it was not
people just milling around over there. So it was
so
really opportune.
Sell it. Yeah,
Well, so would you say most Japanese Americans in Santa Maria today are sansei? Like the two of you?
I would say,
their generation?
Yeah,
probably
the originals.
Probably now it's into sansei because our parents are gone. We're the first generation here. But there are some niseis around, younger ones,
Yeah, yeah. But I would say the majority of our people in there are, sansei.
Sansei
and yonsei. Yeah.
And yonsei, the fourth generation.
Yeah.
Right.
So how did each of you become involved with this work, through your families, or was it really organic for you?
I guess since our families were participating, and then I lived in LA for about 10 years, but when we moved back here, that's when I started to be more familiar with everything that was going on. And yeah, so.
Yeah, I think my older siblings went to Japanese school on Saturdays there at the center. That was on the north northwestern property. Because by the time I came along, because I'm the youngest, I really wasn't going to those same Japanese classes on Saturdays. So my sisters would always say, oh, you're lucky to be the youngest because you weren't forced into it. But I guess they had to wake up early Saturdays and go through the all the kanji being, you know, taught by the Japanese teachers because, you know, of course, they didn't teach that in regular American schools. So it was kind of a way of the Nisei and the Sansei to keep that culture going in us, you know, being able to speak and converse and write in Japanese. So we didn't totally assimilate. We still had some of that culture to pass down, you know, to experience and pass down. So, yeah, like I was saying, I really wasn't exposed to it. So I went to judo there. I used to practice judo with Steve. That was back in the 70s. But I would see the center next to it, but I really wasn't involved until later on. A family friend, Don Camilla, said at one of our meetings or at one of the barbecues we have every 4th of July at the park, she came up to me and said, would you like to join the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center? I'm like, you know, I don't know if I have enough time to volunteer because I was still working full time. And she's like, come on, Wes, you can do it. So she kind of got me into it. And yeah, no, it's just kind of grew on me because it is part of my roots. My grandpa was on the board in Guadalupe when it was in Guadalupe, and the Guadalupe Children's School Board was in existence. That was like early 1900s, and then again we moved to Santa Maria in 1926. But since then, you know, I've really put a lot of time into my position. I'm vice president. Was a former president, but I think it's more a labor of love. You know, you have to do what, you know, you like to do, what you love to do. And this is something that's kind of grown on me, you know, because it is my roots. Right. And I like to honor my roots by doing this.
Joanne, before we talk about how you got involved, I want to let our listeners know that I'm Lotta Murte with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. My guests today are the president and vice president of the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center, Joanne Nishino-Spencer and Wes Koyama, and we are talking about the center's history, its upcoming opening, and all that it will offer. Listeners, this is a pre-recorded show, so we are unable to take your calls, but you are welcome to email voices at kcbx.org with your questions and comments, and we can share them with today's guests from the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center. So, Joanne, how did you get involved in the center and become president of the board?
Well, I may be the president of the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center, but I'm really lucky to have such a wonderful board, and we all work together as a team. And, you know, it's a lot of work. And so we have Vice President Wes, and we have Treasurer Keiko Monahan, Secretary Linda Matiason, and Member at Large Brian Masatani. So everyone chips in and helps so that we could be successful in our goals. So,
yeah, and Brian Masatani is of the Masatani family who
just
ran the Masatani Market in Guadalupe for many, many years.
They just retired, and, you know, I saw Brian at the Buddhist church, and I said, Brian, I go, you know, we have a spot open for member at large, and he goes, well, you know what? You know, I'm retiring. This might work out. So now he's on the board. And
yeah, that was perfect.
Really helping
perfect
us.
Timing.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a very valuable asset to our board.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the second, let me see if I followed everything, because it's such a rich history that I wasn't aware of. So this is the second iteration or third of the center itself. So there's always been a center. This is not the first.
There's always been a group. Yeah.
And then it's gone to this new one.
Okay. So this will be the second. But the group there's always been a group.
There's always been a Japanese group, yeah, in this area. Like I was saying, like the first group was basically in Guadalupe. It was, I don't even think we had a building back then. We probably rented a little space there on Main Street.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't until 26 when we moved over and actually attained the 501(c) certification and became a corporation. Yeah, a nonprofit corporation. Yeah, so, but yeah, well, we'll see how it goes from here on out, you know, as far as the future goes.
So this center, the building is new, but it has deep community roots and history.
Yes. Absolutely.
That I wasn't aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Your specific roles as president and vice president, is there something different that each of you do in those roles?
No, we just pretty much work together. I mean, we have certain things that we do, but
certain things,
but
yeah, like
mostly,
I do the newsletters and RSVPs, you know, like we all plan the luncheon, but
yeah,
do a lot of the paperwork as far as sending out the mailings and making sure that everything's accurate on the lists as far as mailing lists goes, membership lists. I think the treasurer and secretary, they monitor, you know, as far as donations go.
Right.
And, yeah, it's just that we all chip in. We're a board
together.
Of five, but we all kind of, you know, work together, get things done.
So this is primarily donation-based?
Yes.
That's it.
The funding for the center.
Donation and regular yearly dues. It is a nonprofit corporation, so we do have to file paperwork every year, but it is.
Our treasurer is very good about filing everything on time and catching anything that, you know, we missed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how big is the organization?
I would say it's 70 plus.
Yeah.
Probably. 75 possibly. Yeah. I mean, previous.
They're not all really active, but they
send
in their dues and in case they want to come to something, they're ready. So
I would say after the war is probably closer to 200 to 300, but, since people have moved away and passed on, you know, it's probably dwindled down a little bit, but we still have, at least 65 to 70 active members or people that are on the list. Yeah.
With the war referring to World War II.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I was saying, we did have that association in Guadalupe, and then when we came back, it was very important that we stick together, be cohesive after the war, because we kind of like relied on a lot of our own support. So I think the center was very important to getting everybody back, you know, to the regular lives right after internment. Yeah.
And are there other organizations or groups in Santa Maria or in Guadalupe that you've partnered with or who have helped sponsor the center?
Well, you know, the Guadalupe Buddhist Church.
Buddhist Church, yeah.
And there was Christ United Methodist Church, but they, I don't know if you can say they dissolved, but they merged into the First United Methodist Church across from the mall there.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of other associations. Maybe there was a JACL, Japanese American Citizens League, but that was
a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago, and they're defunct.
And our parents were, young.
Yeah. So, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of other Japanese groups, but and I guess it's different, like bigger cities, maybe like San Jose and Orange County. But, yeah, as far as our community goes, there's not a whole lot of Japanese in the area left.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying, a lot of people have migrated to the bigger cities or they've passed on. You know, as far as my kids go, you know, I just have one here in town, but the rest of them have basically flown the coop. They're like, well, Dad, Santa Maria is nice, but, you know, we need to go to other, you know, areas to find other opportunities. I mean, like I was saying, this is my town. I mean, this is where I grew up. I love Santa Maria. But
they might be back as they get older because that's what happened to me.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
They never know.
I went away to college and lived in the city, you know, for a while. And then when I got married and we had Ryan, then we moved back here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the center will serve that function as well to bring younger generations back, if not for good, but for events?
Well, depending on what – we haven't really gotten to the events yet. But, like, you know, the big thing for the Japanese is, of course, Obon. Mm-hmm. So I think that would have people come back already just mm-hmm. for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then our little picnic for 4th of July, I guess some people – come for that, back for that too, but mm-hmm. it's on a smaller scale. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think the main purpose of the center would be to preserve our history, you know, because like I was saying, there isn't a whole lot of us here left. So what we want to do is preserve what we basically accomplished, what we were. That way, you know, future generations or anybody else that wants to come by and kind of learn more about, you know, what we've been through and what we've accomplished, who we were and are, they can find so at the center. And again, I think that's very important to have this.
Mm-hmm.
And that way the city can have that too, and the community.
Have you been working at all with the Santa Maria Valley Historical Society Museum? Or when you talk about preserving the history, will it be in the style of a museum? Or will
we are collecting memorabilia for a gallery,
mm-hmm.
but we're not there yet. So,
yeah, I mean, Shelley Klein from the Santa Maria Historical Society
right.
is one of our members. So we have talked with her, and we may use her in the future. That way, you know, we can collaborate. I think maybe in the future, you know, she can come in and help us prop and
right.
and so forth if need be. But yeah, she's a very valuable asset to our group.
Yes.
Very good.
And we have our, what is it? She's the secretary, Linda Mathiasen, who also will help us prop and do all that because, you know, only a few people have that talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not me.
Not me either. But language classes, you talked about Japanese school, which you know, others I've talked to in the Japanese American community in this area in Santa Maria have talked about growing up with Japanese school a long time ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that going to come back with the center? Do you see offering
I believe so.
Language classes?
If we can find, the right teacher, instructor, and, you know,
yeah, we need to gauge the interest. I'm sure there's plenty of interest. But Japanese is so hard. You know, if you're learning Japanese and your English, it is tough. I've heard it's tougher if you're Japanese learning English because it's so imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's just gauging the interest and then finding the right instructor. But that's definitely something we would look into, you know, the language and the spoken language and the writing, the kanji and the hiragana.
Right. You know, because what stroking down like that and stroking open, they look the same, right? But it's totally different, two different characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think English has to be easier.
Pronunciation-wise,
yes.
I believe it is not, but writing and
that's got to be tough.
Yeah.
That's got to be real tough.
Well, I will say for my own children and their generation, because Japanese pop culture is so big, just
right.
you know, anime and manga, and I think there would be an interest in the community at large.
Oh, yeah.
to learn mm-hmm. Japanese. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things we want to do is open it up to the younger generation. That way,
right.
we can get more
can
members.
Take the reins, you know.
Yeah, more youth. Yes. Yeah, because it needs to be handed down. You know, as far as the interest goes, and
right.
I believe that's probably a good way to go is the new arts that are coming out.
Mm-hmm. We are going to take a short break to hear from our studio. Over to you, Brad.
Thank you.
Ahead today on our Thursday here on KCBX, Latino USA follows this program today from 2 till 3. Then it's Fresh Air from 3 to 4, Marketplace at 4, and All Things Considered from 4:30 to 6:30. Right now, let's return to Dr. Lotta Murdy and her guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Lotta.
Welcome back to Central Coast Voices. My guests today are Joanne Nishino-Spencer, president of the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center, and Wes Koyama, vice president of the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center. And we are talking about the soon-to-open Santa Maria Japanese Community Center and what it means for the Japanese American community of California's Central Coast. Listeners, this is a pre-recorded show, so we can't take your calls, but please email your questions for today's guests to voices@kcbx.org, and we will pass them on after the show. So we've been talking about the history of the Japanese American Community Center. What do you both see as the future? What is the new impact that you believe this center will have in the Santa Maria community at large?
Well, I believe that the center's opening is very important to learning about different groups. I mean, this is one of the reasons that we have racism today, because I believe a lot of people are just not ignorant, but they just don't know about other people. So this is one of our ways to actually outreach and have the community come in, go through the gallery, and, you know, learn about the Japanese community and what we stood for, what we've accomplished, and what we, you know, can provide to the community at large. Very important center to open up, and I kind of feel that, you know, we're very fortunate to have our opportunity to do this as well.
Do you anticipate a certain impact on your own children or perhaps grandchildren or future generations of Japanese Americans who have grown up here, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my family is very excited for me because they realize, you know, we put a lot of work into it, and it's something that they could come back to and experience and go, you know, walk through and say, well, this is what we've done and, you know, stood for and accomplished. So I believe it's very important to, you know, everybody's generation that is connected to Japanese community here in Santa Maria to experience, and very rewarding, I believe, you know, because even going down to LA, going to the Japanese American Museum, mm-hmm. I really get a sense of, you know, who we are, what we've been through, what we've accomplished, and it's very nice. I mean, we can't compare ourselves to Janum, but yeah. Still, it's kind of nice to have something we could come back to, our kids could come back to and learn that's in our valley, that's connected to our experience.
With Janum being the Japanese American National Museum,
yes,
in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So tell us a little more about what brought your families to Santa Maria. Joanne?
Okay. Actually, our families... Half of our family, the Nishino side of the family, lived in San Pedro. And then after the war, they ended up coming back to Santa Maria. My mom's side of the family, the Taniguchis, always lived in the Santa Maria area until they had to go to a relocation camp. So, and actually, after all that time, after the camp, they did stay in Santa Maria for the rest of their lives.
So we're talking about the internment, or as some call the incarceration camps of World War II, where were they interned?
They were interned in Gila Bend, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people from Santa Maria went to that camp. And so my father, as I was explaining earlier, was from San Pedro. His family would have had to have gone to a different camp, but he had a lot of relatives here. He's related to all the Menamis, and so they wanted my dad and his family to come to Guadalupe and live here right away so that they can go to the same camp as his family. And so...
And Guadalupe had a big agricultural industry then,
right?
Right. And the
right.
Menamis were lettuce farmers, at the time.
Everything. But, yeah, my dad was in wholesale produce, and so he would buy from the farmers, like Wes's parents and the Minamis and sell to restaurants and grocery stores and things like that because they didn't have chains back then. So, yes.
And that was actually before the war. Before and then.
And then after they after also came back to the same area.
They came back.
Yes.
Yeah. Not all families were able to come back. Is that correct?
Probably.
Yeah. Whether or not they were able to, some decided that there was nothing to come back to, that they wanted to start over somewhere else. Maybe there was more opportunity somewhere else. Because there was racism. I'm sorry. Everywhere. So it was just a matter of finding, you know, the right fit coming back. Because some people felt more comfortable coming back. Some people didn't. They had more opportunities elsewhere. That I guess it's kind of, it was different for each family, but we came back. So we were actually here before the war. My grandpa came to this country in 1906. He stepped off the boat in San Francisco, and they just had their earthquake, so everything was aflame. And I was just wondering, well, what did he think? You know, I mean, the whole city was on fire, and it was horrible, you know. So, but he persevered. He worked on the railroads a little bit, then migrated down to Guadalupe. The Minamis were here already, so they helped the Coyamas, which was a great great favor. So they started working for a union. My grandpa worked for Union Sugar and was one of the beet farmers along with the Minamis. And then shortly thereafter, I think it was like in 1920, they went out to Mexicali and went to farm some cotton out there. And then he went over to the border to Calexico and had my dad. So just to make sure that he was American citizen, because at the time, if you were alien-born or born in another country, you couldn't own property. So this is the way that when later on we were able to keep property in the family because my dad was able to have title to it. Mm-hmm. So at that point, we moved back to Guadalupe in 27. I think that was right around when the actual Santa Maria Japanese community was founded in Santa Maria.
In 1927.
Yeah, I think it was 26. We moved back here, mm-hmm. and then basically put down roots. And then, it was like the morning of December 7th, I think.
Wow.
Maybe it was shortly thereafter. The next day, they picked up my grandpa because they picked up a whole bunch of Japanese business leaders. Mm-hmm. And they took them to different camps. I think it was Tuna Canyon Detention. And then they took them down to at least four different camps, like Oklahoma, Montana,
Arkansas, Jerome, Arkansas.
Yeah, there was a group of them. I think there's people even from Arroyo Grande and San Luis that they took, but it was just so unjust because they split up the families, mm-hmm. and they hadn't seen their father, my grandpa, for I don't know how long. It was like a year, a couple of years maybe. Then they finally came back because, everybody in this area, Santa Maria Valley, went to Gila Bend or Gila River. Mm-hmm. And, my mom's parents, their family was from the Bay Area, so my mom went to Topaz.
Mm.
I guess that's in Utah?
Yeah.
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 So after the war, let's see, they were released. They were both released, and then we started farming in Colorado with the Minamis. And then shortly thereafter, I think it was maybe 49, 50, we came back to Guadalupe. And started here.
So both your families have long histories, mm-hmm. in Guadalupe and Santa Maria from before World War II. And when you referred to December 7th, you were referring, of course, to December 7th, 1941, and Pearl Harbor,
mm-hmm.
which then led to the racist incarceration of Japanese Americans. But your families did choose to come back to the area. And I think a lot of us in Santa Maria don't realize or recognize this influence in Santa Maria that you can still see today. So the Minami Center, mm-hmm. is named after, of course, mm-hmm. the Minami family.
Mm-hmm.
And the sugar beet company had a large presence, right? And I recently learned because of the history museum that Bataravia, one of the major streets, is named after the French word for beat.
Oh,
better yeah. of.
That's right.
And I actually learned that from one of my Japanese American friends. We visited the museum together. She knew French. I don't know French. So there's all these histories and connections that it's exciting me to think about in terms of the center and mm-hmm. how the center can bring that alive and really highlight that for visitors. And so I think about that every time I drive past and see a little more of it, right, coming into being. How can our listeners support the center? What can they do to help its opening and its growth? Can they donate? Can they spread the word?
Yes.
Visit a website?
We have set up a Facebook account. I'm not sure if they can support through there, but what they could do is they could send correspondence to our club address. That's 113, what was it? I'm sorry. It's 237 Town Center West. Number 110 in Santa Maria, 93458. We do accept donations to our club. And if you do want to join, you know, you can go ahead and send like a quick note, and then we can send out an application for our yearly membership. It's only $10 per person, which is pretty reasonable these days, I believe. And that helps with our day-to-day expenses, you know, mailing and so forth, insurance. So that's one of the ways, but we were thinking about having a website as well, but it's just a matter of getting that organized, and our hands are so full right now. I don't know if we have enough time to actually organize an actual website. So I think the main reason, or the main way we can get that support, is through donations and yearly memberships.
Yeah, so tell us how to find you on Facebook. Is it just Santa Maria Japanese Community
You know,
Center?
I've created that, and a former board member, Judy Saki, she created another one. So I believe you can just go on and then search on Facebook for Santa Maria Japanese Community Center, and those two pages will pop up. I'm still working full-time, so I don't have that much time to update it. So if you go on it, there's probably a bunch of old pictures from our groundbreaking. But I will get on it as soon as I get some time to update and, you know, tell people that want to follow us, you know, the latest of the center and the center's opening.
Yeah, I want to mention again that this is all volunteer-based, donation-based.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You don't have any actual employees.
No.
No. Yeah. All volunteers. We're all volunteer board. If we can have people volunteer, that'd be awesome. You know, especially the younger, generations, because me and Joanne, we're kind of technically, challenged, so to speak. So, you know, cause she'll ask me questions. I'm like, I'm not too sure how to do that. So then I'll ask my son or, you know, somebody at work that's a little more technically inclined. But yeah, it's a challenge when you're, you know, you weren't raised around computers and technology. So we kind of would like to have, you know, people volunteer, say, hey, you know, I've got this skill or I've got these connections. You know, what could I do for the Japanese community or the Japanese Community Center? You know, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. Because we need all the help we can.
Yes. Yes. So, listeners, if you have web design experience, email us. We'll pass it on to my guests here today, Wes and Joanne, with the Japanese Community Center of Santa Maria. This is Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show, and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. This is a pre-recorded show, but we welcome your emailed questions about the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center. Please send them to voices@kcbx.org, and we will pass them on to today's guests. And my guests today are the president and vice president of the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center, Joanne Nishino-Spencer and Wes Koyama. And we are talking about the upcoming Japanese Community Center in Santa Maria, what it means for Joanne and Wes, as well as the Central Coast's Japanese American community at large. So, Joanne, Wes, if there are listeners who are thinking, I would like to start something like this where I live. I know that there's a Japanese American community or history where I live, and it'd be great to have a center commemorating or highlighting that history. What advice do you have for them? How might they go about it?
You know, I have no idea. They probably have to file for a 501(c) corporation first, nonprofit entity, and then kind of gauge the interest. Maybe, you know, put the feelers out there through the local city government and other people in the community, maybe a Facebook page. But it'd probably be really rewarding, you know, to set up something like that and then actually watch it grow. Because that's what a community is about, is getting everybody together and learning about each other. That way it's very rewarding for everybody in general.
Yeah. And it sounds like before you go to that stage of a center, which, as we talked about earlier, is a long time coming, just even bringing together the community, right, and Japanese American families to come together and talk about this and have events, sounds like a big starting point for mm-hmm. this, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. I didn't know you had a July 4th picnic, and so that's...
That's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's it's a different group. Yeah, it's called the Kishu Club Group. Mm-hmm. It's a group of farmers that got together and they...
From a certain part
of
Japan.
Yeah, it's from the Wakayama prefecture in Japan. So they figured if we do this on the 4th of July, it kind of shows our patriotism, you know, because mm-hmm. it was right after the war. Right. There was still a lot of racism. So it was kind of a way to kind of get together and kind of, not compare notes, but kind of like bond during that period and kind of catch up with everybody and show our true American spirit, you know, mm-hmm. with our groups.
Right.
And, back in the day, it was like 200 to 300 people, and it was a really big
yes.
get-together at Waller, but, you know, kind of like...
Now we're down to what, how many?
Yeah, maybe 30? Like 50. Yeah. Yeah, but it's still kind of nice because Minamis are still the main focal point, so they do all the organizing and a lot of the cooking, and it's still nice to be able to catch up with all the other families too. But it's just, you know, bonding with everybody, keeping everybody together is very important these days.
Right.
So Joanne, as someone who grew up in the community, went away for 10 years to Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and came back, what does this mean for you personally to be involved in this group, to be a leader in the group, and to help bring about this center?
Oh, gosh. I think it's been a very wonderful experience working on the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center to preserve our Japanese history and for the future generations. I just can't wait till it finally comes to fruition because
yes.
we've all worked very hard, and I keep telling the board, it's going to be so great. You know, we're going to get there. We'll be there
just
soon.
See the light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, you keep saying that every few months, but yeah, I mean, I have to try to encourage them. I don't want people to not want to finish the job, per se. So we're getting there.
Definitely. It takes time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time.
Absolutely. But it's going to be worth it. So worth it.
How about for you, Wes? What does this mean for you personally?
You know, like I was saying, growing up, I didn't have a whole lot of connection to the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center. I mean, I still grew up in the community as a Japanese American. So I believe it's very important to preserve history, you know, because we've assimilated so much, you know, and kind of like lost our identity, our Japanese American identity. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you feel this way, Joanne, but I kind of like growing up, I was kind of ashamed to be Japanese because of the war, because of internment, kind of the shame aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So in that case, I kind of like lost a little bit of that, like feeling shame to my own identity. So I kind of like lost that part. So this community center is kind of like my way of getting that piece back. Mm-hmm. And projecting that to other people that might want to learn about, you know, again, who we are and what we've been through and, you know, what we can provide from here on out. So I believe it is very important to have this center, you know, speak that for us. And it'd be really nice. I mean, it's kind of unrealistic, but to have all these immigrant groups that come in have their own center so they could tell everybody. Well, this is who we are.
Right?
You know, it's probably not, it's probably cost prohibitive, but that'd be ideal. You know, I mean, it's very fortunate for us that this offer, you know, came to us, basically fell in our lap from the city, and it was just perfect timing. But like I was saying, the ideal situation would be all these groups that have come in, all these different immigrant groups that have come in to form our community deserve that, you know, to have their history preserved for them and for future generations.
Yeah, do you have anything to add to that, Joanne? Does that resonate with you?
Yes, I think that's true. It's like, I think some other groups probably wouldn't have the means to do this. And so that really was a great thing that the timing was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I could see my grandparents and my parents, you know, being so happy that we're trying to preserve all this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned before the show that doing this show is for your grandparents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that? What that means to you?
Well, because I feel that my grandparents worked so hard to get back what they lost, you know, when they went to camp. And the same thing with our parents. They were still younger and lost their home. I mean, so
everything was in one suitcase. They had to leave
you're gonna take one
with
suitcase.
Their whole life in one suitcase. That
and
included
some
all
have
property.
Their suitcases. I have one lady wanted to donate her suitcase.
Oh, wow.
But now with the size, I have to, you know, we'll have to re.
Yeah, if you've ever been to Janum, there's like a whole display of all those suitcases in like one big pile.
Yes.
And it's just, it's very moving just to go through the museum and relive, you know, those moments. And it's just, you know, because I talked to my mom and she really didn't want to talk a whole lot about her experiences about going through internment. And I could see that. I could see the pain in her eyes and maybe shame too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it must have been
like our
horrible.
Generation, Sansei, I think we're ready to forget, not forget, but, you know, move on rather than stay stuck there and angry about the situation.
Right.
It's like just let's kind of work and do our thing. And many of the Japanese people in Santa Maria have become very, very well to do and but through hard work and, you know, they started with nothing. So they just were very successful.
Yeah. So. Community Center had the hand in it as far as, you know, being kind of like the way station when we came back from camp too. If people didn't have places to stay, there was a kitchen there, there was rooms.
Right.
So they would stay there because they didn't have housing set up. So I heard a community, the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center was very important to the community in, you know, setting things back to normal or trying to get back to normalcy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really letting go of that past generational shame and expressing pride, more pride in the history, it sounds like to me, with this center. I mean, there's going to be a monument as well, right, in the front. This is not, I mean, this is not going to be a hidden place. It's in a main area of Santa Maria. Everyone will be able to see it. They'll be able to visit. So it seems like it's reclaiming that history.
Yeah, I just heard there's going to be a Santa Maria-style barbecue pit made there. Right. So I'm really happy about that because they weren't going to put it in at first. Yeah. I believe somebody finally twisted their arm and said, hey, we need this. If this is going to be a Santa Maria Japanese Community Center, you have to have a Santa Maria-style barbecue pit. So I'm glad that's going in. You know, it's something for the community because that's, you know, tri-tip, then Santa Maria, they go hand in hand.
Fancy kitchen there.
Yeah. Oh, the kitchen's outstanding. Yeah.
So. And there will be cooking classes.
We're going to try to find, if we can find someone that can do that, that would be great.
Well, I think we got to first gauge the interest and then find the people to instruct and
We have a few ideas, but you know, these are retired people that had restaurants and maybe, you know, once a year or something, they wouldn't mind giving up their time to teach a class. So hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so many different opportunities, you know, for classes and
the first one is to get our center completed so we can have some events there.
Mm-hmm.
The physical building, yes. So tell us again when the center is set for completion and opening.
Well, it's about hopefully two to three months. But as you know, with construction and everything, it's hard for us to pinpoint. Mm-hmm. And we still have work to do, you know, on our monument and our donor wall and all that. So I think the timing, it'll work out fine.
Very good. Yeah, construction always takes longer than we think.
Yes.
But listeners, it will be here, the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center. And we hope you share our excitement about it and that you will come out to the grand opening when it happens.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to thank today's guests, Joanne Nishino-Spencer, president of the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center, and Wes Koyama, vice president of the Santa Maria Japanese Community Center. We have been talking about Santa Maria's Japanese Community Center, or JCC, its history, its significance, and where and how our listeners can support the center and find out more. Look up the center on Facebook to see what's up. And I know the Santa Maria Times as well has had several articles. Next week, join me again as I speak to guests from San Luis Obispo Grange, number 639, about exciting recent changes and upcoming changes ahead. You are invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation Thursday, July 31st, between 1 and 2 p.m. I'm Lata Murthy. Thank you for joining us today.